In all respects, we're not actually a society. We're a religious organization, we're a church, but we don't have a social structure. That's why Prabhupada emphasized our national, because our national is, Krishna says, Tasya Prabhupada Mahiman, Bhagavad, to say, I established, this is a social society for human beings that Krishna gave. So, Krishna created humans to live in this world so that they would ultimately know the path of liberation. But have an image of it. What are their duties? What are their rights? So now, you know, you're a Swedish citizen, so you have rights and you have obligations. You gotta pay so much taxes, and you have an obligation to follow the laws, and these are the laws, this is the way you drive along the road, and so many things. And you have rights. You have rights as a Swedish citizen. So these are the two basic ingredients that come in a society. But what are the rights and obligations that Krishna expected? And what are those that he gave? He gave certain rights and obligations. What are they? So until actually the movement establishes that for itself, and then ultimately, you know, when we talk about spreading Krishna consciousness around the world, the idea wasn't that we're meant to integrate into the social structures around us. Prabhupada wasn't an integrator. Prabhupada was a revolutionary. Prabhupada was someone who wanted to change the systems. When Prabhupada first came, and you know, they said, "Oh, Swamiji, you know, to here you have to wear Western clothes, and you know, you can't eat with your hands. You have to learn how to eat with spoons." From Prabhupada, so we come here to learn these things. I came here to teach them how to change. Changing my clothes, there's a change. So we changed our clothes. Prabhupada said, we eat with our hands. And then so many other, of course, these are very external things in one sense, is the clothes that you wear. But what are the rights? What are the obligations? So Krishna says Varna and Asha. What is an obligation? No divorce. Does that exist in this world? No divorce. We have the same divorce rate as the world outside, which is about 50-60%. Yeah. If they even get married to start with. So if you check, you'll see that in Western countries, and it's spreading to India and places, 50-60%. Well, therefore you don't have a stable society, because society is based on the grihasthas. The stability of the grihastha, ashram, reflects stability of the other. So that's, and then there's so much of that. That's how Arjuna begins. He says, Adharma Bhagavad Krishna, Padrashanti Kulastriya. Well, if we fight this war, the men will be dead. They'll be killed. Women will have no husbands. They'll just get exploited. The result of exploited women will be Varna Shankara, will be unwanted progeny. In other words, children who are not born according to samskaras, children who are not a product of the word of goodness, but a product of ignorance and passion. But act that way, their children, and that becomes then the whole degradation of society. So that's what we see nowadays, that society is degrading. Send one message.
I see the marriages that usually succeed are the ones that have Christian focus and as the
say that again.
I have seen that the marriages that were the strongest are the ones when they have Krishna in the center and when they serve him together, and not that it's secondary.
Yes, yes. Just yes, I mean you, Krishna in the center, and that's understandable. You know, everything compatibility means that people's natures are such that they have common interests. They may have different natures, but they have common interests. You know, we talk about having a community in Hamburg. What does a community mean? Since we talked about that, community means it's in the word. People who have things in common. So the more things people have in common, and especially the more fundamental things they have in common, you have a community. But if people don't have things in common, then it no longer becomes a community. They may all agree that Krishna is God. But if everyone has a different lifestyle, then you have conflict. and you have, or even if you don't have conflict, you're not going to agree on how to, for instance, pursue Srila Prabhupada's vision and how to make it happen. So, in terms of rights and obligations, well, yes, that was an obligation of the Grihastha Ashram. And it's not happening. Another obligation is that Grihasthas are supposed to, well, in Christian terminology, it's called tithing. Tithing means that you give 10% of your income. Krishna, if I believe in Krishna and Krishna's giving, then I have to reciprocate. So in some way, this is standard in every religion, whether it's Christianity or Islam. So it's also a duty of those who receive, and they have to give.
We have that in Hindi as well. We pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's, we pay for it.
We pay for the temple, for everything that needs to be paid. There's a lot of bills, and also for the cow protection.
For the
cow protection.
Yes. So these are obligations, and that's the right thing. But does everybody do that? So, and if they don't, then dharma vivapat Krishna, then it will be adharma, and they'll get the wrong result. I mean, what to speak of, that all initiated devotees chant 16 rounds and follow the regular principles. So does everybody do that? The answer is simply no. To know actually what are these responsibilities, and what are the standards? There are simple standards, like, you know, we used to always have flat for English, I forget how it's called, in which you use water and throw on the temple room, you know, put your feet into the water, and then use the towel and drop, then you go. If you're supposed to go in the temple room, it would be feet. You know, before we ate, we would wash our hands, feet, and mouth, and after we ate, we would wash our hands, feet, and mouth. So this is what Prabhupada taught us. We got these things from Sri Prabhupada. So, and all of these different elements of life add up to a certain type of conduct. And stealing flowers.
I don't want.
I was going to say.
I mean, those are rationed for the deities, so let's just.
Okay.
Be courteous, Hasa.
It must be like a few times you've asked for a pita, do you know what you're at? And who spats more of them? That had the la baba. Or so we go to, you know, when you look. So there's some, I like to be able to, you know, teach the things. One thing that I was concentrating on this year when we were in Mayapur, sort of caused a bit of a stir with some people, was that I'm trying to emphasize more what Prabhupada taught us in terms of the relationship between guru and the disciple, how to show actually respect. Because there is a tendency, there's a move in ISKCON to sort of bring down the level of what worship of a guru is like, and that sort of Srila Prabhupada becomes the guru. Of course, Prabhupada is the founder of Acharya and so many things, but still, Sakshad Hari Trinasamasta Shastri. So, Prabhupada is Sakshad Hari, and anyone who follows Prabhupada is also Sakshad Hari. You can't change that. It's still being as good as God is being as good as God. Prabhupada came in Chicago in a Rolls Royce, and isn't that a little flashy, ostentatious, that you picked up in the airport in a Rolls Royce? Prabhupada said, well, if God came, he should be, he would be picked up in a gold cup Rolls Royce. So the spiritual master is represented by God, should have a gold, but Prabhupada wasn't apologizing. He was saying it's not nice. Enough. Prabhupada didn't, Prabhupada was very, newspaper reporter was saying that, said that the disciple will do whatever the spiritual master says. Isn't that like sort of a dangerous thing? And Prabhupada pointed to Brahmananda Maharaj and said, yes, if I tell him to kill you, he'll kill you.
Yes.
Prabhupada wasn't afraid of what people are going to think of us, and he wasn't going to water down the relationship between guru and disciple, or what actually the principle of guru means. Because once you water that down, there's no Krishna consciousness movement. There's no, it's like Christianity. What's Christianity? There's one guru, Christ, and no one really follows Christ or Christ's teaching seriously. I'm actually coming up for all this. So no one takes it seriously, and why? Why did we join? Why did we give everything up? Why did we do the things that Srila Prabhupada wanted? We'd go out on book distribution 12 hours a day, and every year Prabhupada wanted us to double it and double it and double it. It's just all based on faith. But if you weaken that faith between the disciple and guru, you're not going to have people who are willing to do anything. And if they're not willing to do anything for God's representative, they won't do anything for God. But that's where Krishna starts. Sarvadharma Paritya now. Just give up everything. And that's where devotional service starts. Mami Kam Sharanam, Sharanagati. I mean, that's surrender. So, what have I done? So yes, that's one of the things. I was talking about. So, I was telling them in Indian, in Vedic culture, children are taught to respect their parents like guru. So, Sandipani Muni tells Krishna that parents are the first guru. That means that as soon as children get up, they go and they bow down and put their head on their parents' feet. Now, even today, better families, children will do that because they're taught to do that. You've probably seen Indians, come and they want to touch your feet. That's the culture. But for us, we're...
Can you do that?
So,
girl, I can touch your feet?
Yeah. If I go to England and I go to, an Indian home, then they're going to want to wash my feet. So read Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord Chaitanya went. They washed the feet. Of course, Lord Chaitanya was, his sannyas was different than ours. We Guru Chaitanya wasn't really preaching in the way that Srila Prabhupada preached. So, you know, Prabhupada allowed ladies to give class, to sing, to cook for him. Lord Chaitanya would never have done that. But yes, that the devotees should do that, but even they should put their head on spiritual master's feet. And that they and that's not something big. She just came to, you know, I had that idea. I wanted to put flower petals on bed at night. I was like, oh, well, this, we didn't do that for Prabhupada. No, we didn't. But we could have. Prabhupada wouldn't have objected. In other words, just to show worship or respect and devotion, it's the basis. Guru Padashtriya, that's the first thing that Rupa Goswami says. Surrender to Guru, take initiation, surrender to Guru, take initiation from him, and follow previous acharyas. These are the first three ingredients, elements of devotional service. So to maintain that, you know, the other, when they were started building the palace in Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan, devotees were really austere. In the morning, they would, breakfast was oat water.
That's a classic breakfast in Sweden.
It was, huh?
That's a classic breakfast in Sweden.
Not oats, just the water.
The water of the oats?
No, just the water of the oats.
Wow. What happened to the oats?
I'm not sure. But it was simple because they were... they spent all their money on building this palace. So, you know, sannyasis objected, Prabhupada, you know, they're building this palace for you. How much time are you going to spend there anyway? And but in the meantime, and, you know, New Vrindavan at one point had 800 devotees there, including the children. It was the biggest community. And they were very austere. And Prabhupada just answered, he says, no, it's all right. He says, there's no limit to worshiping the spiritual master. And that was Prabhupada just talking about himself. I mean, everywhere you read in Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's talking about Guru. And he's not just talking about himself. He's talking about, when Prabhupada was talking about himself, he made it very clear. He wanted A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, founder of Acharya. He wanted that on every temple, on every book. But there he's not talking about himself. There he's talking about the whole principle of spiritual master. Remember Srimad Chakrabartaka, you know, 300 years ago he read Shakshahari. He's not talking about himself. He's talking about now the spiritual master. So that's also a very important principle, deity worship, you know, principle of deity worship, right? To worship the deities nicely, and I would say, you know, most temples, at least in the West, are maintained at the real skeleton crew of pujaris. Very often they're paid pujaris from the West. Prabhupada never wanted anyone to be paid. He never wanted devotees to receive a salary. There's no salary. Give enough in kind in order to live, but it's no question of salary. He said this will just destroy the mood of devotion or devotional service. It means working for money. It means if I don't get that much money, I'm not going to work. So, yeah.
Definitely. very, very few Jews, in Sweden,
yeah.
Everywhere, but I really see when I came here in Rotterdam, I heard that this, yeah, we need more pujaris. And I understand, because there's a lot of things to, there's very high standards, so there's a lot of things to do. And when I see such a nice mood, because everybody is so focused on serving Radha Sham. And in Sweden there is so few pujaris, and they're all elderly, and there's no young in that community that really wants to take that responsibility, which means that they have no one to give all their knowledge to and give all their... So it's really...
And we will take care of the babies.
Yes. And it's really... feels like... it's important to get all the knowledge I can and help and contribute there where it's very much needed. And for example, there is no people in the ashram because there is no youngsters that want to move into the ashram. The youngsters just maybe finish school, and then the boys are very enthusiastic in book distribution. They're very fired up, so they are mostly doing Harnam books distribution, or some of them are going to Atlanta to learn from Hotsha.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, great. That's good to hear.
Yes. I'm very happy to hear when I heard the news. And that's why me and these two other young girls, we wanted to establish something for the girls to also make them inspired, because there's a lot of us, and it's extremely unfortunate if people leave, because they are so needed. And when I was younger, I had this pressure, like, oh my God, we're the next generation, we have to, we have to continue. And when I grew up, it was a beautiful Govinda restaurant in Stockholm. Beautiful. I basically grew up at the restaurant because they had a temple restaurant and a gift shop. And the second floor, where it was like the Indian dining area where we sat on the ground. It was so nice. And every day I missed it. So my dream is really that all the youths in Sweden really come together and
market and close it. There's no one to run it.
Yes, it was people running it, but the landlord that we rented, the huge
sell the boat.
No, he I don't think he liked us. He didn't like the bodies, so he hired the rent so much every year, so he wasn't able to go around, and then because he wanted to keep us out, and then we couldn't stay any longer. And then we tried with a smaller place to have a smaller govindas, but it also didn't go around at all. It very unfortunate. And there was also the elders, you know. It's really good that they all still want to do the govindas, but.
This is what Prabhupada specifically wanted, the restaurants for grihasthas.
Mm-hmm.
Prabhupada said grihasthas should be independent, but not too independent.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives them a sense of independence, it gives them a project that they run, it simultaneously they're preaching. And it put Prabhupada's idea was always, you know, this restaurant, and then what he called a reading room, a library, and people, you know, you can give talks and so on. So that was, and that you could have unlimited restaurants, you know, Australia, or how many restaurants they have. And, they're the top. It's a good, you can maintain yourself, you can maintain family, you have your income, and you're part of this company.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's not like temple life. But, you know, even if devotees give money to the temple, but if there's no one to run the temple, then what are they going to do with the money?
Yeah.
what's to happen with the money? What's the purpose or the function? Mm-hmm. And then the next step is that, you know, they get employed people, but when it becomes, everything becomes on the basis of pay and employment, then, you know, the whole spirit, Hare Krishna, and the purity of the thing vanishes. So, this, and how to reestablish? So that's really good news, that boys are going to Atlanta to learn. We have Prabhupada's idea of book distribution. Have we distributed enough books? Of course not. And so many other books, Prabhupada wasn't just... Prabhupada expected us to translate and present other Vaishnava literature. We're meant to be replacing the whole literature that people read. So who's going to do that? You know, I'm always really quite amazed. I mean, I see that in England, but I also sort of see it here. Why aren't devotees who lived in a temple for 10, 15 years, why aren't their children moving into the temple? One reason is because the parents don't brainwash them to do that. They don't bring them up with the idea that you have to at least 3-5 years do temple service, so you get an idea, you get a taste, because otherwise it takes away the ability to make a decision, well, maybe I want to do this for the rest of my life. But unless you have an experience of it, how do you know? You can't make a decision. You can't make a decision just with one thing. So the experience of the world outside, okay, that's easy to get. How do you get this experience and see, yes, I like to dedicate my life. As Srila Prabhupada said, you know, children aren't ordinary children. They're, you know, they come, Suchinam, Srimatam Gehe, they have some higher they've come from some higher dimension. They come out that they're demigods, or at least yogis and past devotees who are practicing before, but they haven't finished. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So, the devotees come here to become computer technicians, or who knows what is that? Is that what they came for? Mm-hmm. They came here to finish their devotional life. And Prabhupada established a mission. He established the Krishna Consciousness mission. So to take that mission forward. So, you know, this is the mission. Now the Buddhists have to take responsibility for it. And who are the ones who will take responsibility? It should be the next generation.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's a lot to do.
Yes. There is so much to do.
Yeah. Temples, you know, farms closed, temples closed. It's a disaster.
About temples, the farm Alvik, it's getting older as well. But there's no thoughts of closing it down. There's we're talking about doing a big renovation and making everything more practical in the temple building and renovating the altar. And Lokanath Prabhu lives in the farm, who's been managing with her wife, Ramashri Mataji. They've been managing the Govindas for so many years.
Govindas around it.
Govindas, before it closed down. He asked me if I would like to be part of the renovation of the altar. Because I'm a carpenter, so I have some knowledge about wood and what could be nice. And it feels like I said that I would be interested in doing that. And if I, when the time comes when we collect enough money to be able to do that renovation, it means that I have to stay full time in Alnwick and do that service when the time comes.
Altar means what, the standing on or the shungasen?
Both.
I think the altar shouldn't be wood.
It should be marble. But yeah, I think they mean everything together.
Yeah, altar should be with marble, which is a wooden frame, just like marble on it. That's easy. That's and then the marble work, that's up for, you know, marble people to do. But yeah, the top, just like what we did, and we have a lot of problem with even seasoned wood. It's local wood, so it's from Hungary.
Nice.
Yeah, so it wasn't, you know, coming in from somewhere else, but local wood, so that means used to this type of climate, but it's still cracks and so on. Matsya Avatar, he was a, you know, Italian designer, you know, and he would make, just like for instance in Radadesh, he designed those, or in Villa Vrindavan, so it was a marble shungasen. But too expensive to make it circular, to make drums circular. So they got, you know, sort of square domes, and even actually Prabhupada Samadhi in Mayapur, he designed and made that. But they're, you know, in other words, it's octagon or something like that, which really isn't like a round dome. But that's, yeah, marble's always the best. Because when we worry about termites, it'll be there for 10,000 years. But that's super, super expensive. It's a question whether there's people to actually do it. Who are capable of doing that? Mm-hmm. That type of craftsmanship is also going out on the window. So, you know, there's a lot of things to do, and that would be a nice, you know, project. The Mormons, you know, Mormons. So Mormons have a standard thing. All the boys, it's not limited to the boys. All the men have to. 2 years of preaching. So when you see, you know, they're nicely dressed and suit and tie, and they're great for selling, they're good for selling books too, because one of their things was to be open to other religions and see what they fix. So you can easily sell them a Bhagavad Gita. But 2 years, they have to move on to travel anywhere in the world and to preach. So even if we have that system, that, you know, devotees at least come at least for a few years, then you've got some amount of input. And then some of those devotees may decide that they want to do this, it's their lifelong calling as well. Otherwise, we have a lot of devotees. If next generation would actually, you're now third generation, actually would have, was your mother second? So you're third.
How is she second?
Hmm?
How is she second?
Well, she's the next generation after me, and she's, well, if you take Prabhupada, then you're fourth generation.
Yes. Okay.
So there's a lot of things, and it will be, well, at least that's what we hope that it will be, but that we're not like, you know, Gaudiya Math. I don't know if you've gone to Gaudiya Math temples, but often they're very, not very well maintained. And if they're well maintained and if they look nice, it's only because Western devotees, which usually means ISKCON, ex-ISKCON devotees, participate in them. So there's a lot to know, there's a lot to do, and I joined the vast majority of When God Brothers, God Sisters, when Prabhupada left, and then when, you know, my generation devotees started to initiate, especially in the very beginning. Some got quite disillusioned. Gurus made a lot of mistakes at that time in terms of what their relationship was with their God brothers and God sisters. So, and then, you know, some gurus left, or gave up their sort of vows of sannyas and so on, and that was a real cause of loss of faith, which is very unfortunate. Very unfortunate.
They seem that that's a big mark in Sweden also, because of Rukesh and Krishna to love. A lot of the devotees around their 50s, I see on their mood, and it's very clear that
the faith is really being damaged, and when your faith is damaged or it's not strong, then you don't have the inspiration.
I heard this really nice example from Shama Sundaris, one of the younger boys in Alvik. He gave a lecture and he gave this really nice example. It was about faith, and it was this man who went, you probably heard this, he went over a line and put balancing on it, and it was very far. I mean, it was no ground under, and it was two cliffs, and he was walking over, and there was so much people cheering and saying, "We can make it, you can do it," and then he finally came over and he made it. And everybody said, "Wow, I really believe in you," and everything, I really believed in him. And then when he said, "Okay, do you think I can make it one more time?" And he said, "Yeah, of course, no doubt." Then he said, "Who wants to sit on my shoulders?" And nobody had faith. Well, nobody had that much faith, so they couldn't trust him that much that he could take them back. So I really thought that was a nice example, that I feel a lot of devotees, and they believe in Krishna, but they don't have the full, complete faith. And yes.
Yes, and on the other hand, I'm not advanced enough that just my faith in Krishna will make me do anything. Okay. Here, I'm going to go over.
Yes, thank you so much for taking the time.
Okay. Well, I will see you in the morning. So I'll be over there. But then we'll be in touch, and then let me know what's happening, what the program is, what your program is. Are you planning at all to come over the winter to India?
Or? I would absolutely love to, but it looks like next year. This year, unfortunately, I am not able to go.
Anyway, you can always come for a weekend and just let me know that I'm here. Make sure that I'm not usually anywhere else and that I'm there with you.
I heard you're coming to England.
I'm coming to England. Okay, August 5. You think you're going over there?
I've never been in England, and it would be very nice to see that. Let's see, I'll talk with my mother, and we'll arrange something.
Yeah, that's going to... I'm going to travel. I'm going to go to Wales, I'm going to go to Scotland, I'm going to be in London. I'm going to do this swim, so I'm not spending as much time as I usually do in London. But Berlin is pretty.
Looks much better.
It looks much better, certainly. Anyway, it'll feel. It'll feel. Good. Okay, so we should. It's a good time. We'll keep in touch. You have any question? Yeah, better write me by email than WhatsApp. But WhatsApp tends to get lost. If you send a message and I don't specifically answer it, then it stays at the bottom and then it gets pushed down and then sometimes you end up not noticing. So I get this is too much. The voters have got Viber, WhatsApp, and email. Best for email, but if someone wants me to respond and notice, then email's there. But it may be not so long because I'm still quite limited. I suppose I'm spending too much time with correspondence and things like that. There's not enough time in the day. Okay.
I'm very, very happy. I'm grateful that I could be here.
I'm glad. I'm positive. Chantal Krishna will be happy. So, I mean, we went through a lot in ISKCON. Can't say we're always happy, but we continue to chant Hare Krishna. But wouldn't do anything else if I had to. You had to do it all over again. But would you do anything different? And I said, no, I'd do exactly the same thing. And you probably planned. He planned. Way in advance, years and years he was planning, so he knew what he was going to do, what he wanted. And that's why, that's when Prabhupada came to the world. You know, Prabhupada